Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, since it is Wednesday, I hope you got yourself over to sportstimeradio.com already, because there was a new blog that went up there this morning. If not, hey, swing on by and check it out. Leave your comments over there. Let people know what you think. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, there is a link there that'll take you to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You know, if you're going to swing on over there, you might as well give that a like, right? I mean, you went all the way over there, so what the heck? We also have a Twitter feed, which, of course, is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find me on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. That's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E. If you want to head on over there and check me out or follow or whatever you got going on. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, while we're hanging out on our own, we did have some NFL news today that, you know, will impact fantasy. And, you know, while I have fantasy drafts coming up, so this stuff is good to know. We had a couple starting quarterbacks named today. No surprise that Trevor Lawrence has been named the Jacksonville Jaguars starting quarterback for week one. I think everybody kind of expected that, so not a real issue there. But in Denver, they named a starting quarterback, and Teddy Bridgewater wins the job over Drew Locke. So, you know, Teddy will get that going. So we will see how he does. But you know, just one of those things. And we actually did have a trade in the NFL that I thought was kind of interesting. The New England Patriots sent running back Sony Michel to the Los Angeles Rams. In return, they get a couple of conditional draft picks. They get a fifth rounder and a sixth rounder. I don't know what the conditions are, and what, you know, what's interesting about that is, you know, the Rams lost. Blank on the running back's name, but he was going to be their number one, Cam Akers, thank you. And, you know, Darrell Henderson was the guy that looked like was going to be their number one. Now with Michelle there, you got to wonder how much time they're going to split or how that's, you know, going to kind of work out for them. So it will be interesting to see, you know, how much, you know, Sony Michels can pick up or Sony Michel can pick up as, you know, as things get moving. And, you know, because we're only, you know, there's only one more preseason game, and then week one gets going. So we'll have to kind of wait and see how that goes. But that could have some really interesting impact. You know, if you're looking for a late round running back to take a chance on, you know, Sony Michel could be a guy you take a shot with there, just to kind of see, you know, how it's going or if it's worth the deal and all that other stuff. So you know, or at least that, you know, and of course, since I'm thinking that probably means it's wrong and you don't want to do that, but that's, you know, that's just me, and that's kind of how fantasy things go for me. You know, just my, you know, my luck behind it. So we'll, you know, we'll see. And then they did say that Dak Prescott rejoined team drills with the Dallas Cowboys. So it looks like he is on track to start week one. So we'll you know, we'll see how that goes. Now, I believe the only team we're waiting for to announce a starting quarterback now is the New Orleans Saints. And it's, you know, it really looked like Jameis Winston won that job, but I don't think we really know which way Sean Payton is going to go. You know, because he's very loyal to Taysom Hill, even though Winston has outplayed Hill this preseason. You know, everybody else is all set. I mean, we know who's going to quarterback pretty much everybody else, unless there's some kind of surprise somewhere, and you know, a team decides to make a last minute switch. You know, I know here in Chicago they're going to let Andy Dalton skip the final preseason game because he's the week one starter. You know, as far as I know, the Giants are still planning on starting Daniel Jones. I don't really know who else is even on the roster if they decided that he would be somebody they wanted to go away from. Who, trying to see here who they're carrying as a backup. Yeah, are they really going to go with Mike Glennon? I don't know if that's, you know, going to do much. I mean, I know Glennon played well in the opportunities he had last year, but, you know, it's probably kind of a make-or-break year for Daniel Jones before the Giants decide if they're going to, you know, move one way or the other. So, you know, that'll be something to keep an eye on and see what they decide to, decide to do. But I would guess week one he's the starter. I can't see, you know, can't see anything else. I mean, you know, you look at the other teams and, you know, I mean, we know Washington's going with Ryan Fitzpatrick and, you know, the Lions have Jared Goff now. And, you know, I mean, the rest of the divisions are really well set. You know, the 49ers did decide to go with Jimmy Garoppolo and, you know, we're rolling along. So yeah, the only team we're sitting on is the New Orleans Saints. And like I said, I fully expect it to be Jameis Winston. You know, if it's not, well, then it'll be interesting to see what the reasoning is behind it. Now, of course, you know, Taysom Hill will still, you know, if he's not the starter, he'll still do the, you know, the Taysom Hill gadget plays that we get when, you know, when he's in the game. You know, it's not like he's not going to be part of the Saints offense. It's nothing like that. So, you know, it's just, I think it's kind of smart for them to go with Winston. You know, he gives them something that they didn't even have in Drew Brees' final couple years, and that's a downfield, you know, presence with the football. That, you know, because Winston gives them the opportunity to throw the football down the field. You know, I mean, if you watched any of their preseason game last week, he hit a couple deep balls to Marcus Callaway. So that was, you know, pretty interesting to see from a Saints offense. And, you know, again, we'll see what they do, but that appears to be the big, you know, the big question right now. And we'll just have to kind of wait and see if and when they finally make the announcement, right? You know, that's about it. You know, and then the other thing to keep an eye on, I saw that the Buffalo Bills signed wide receiver Steven Sims. You know, they have Cole Beasley and I can't remember what other wide receiver it is. They are on the NFL, you know, COVID list. So they needed bodies. So they're bringing in Sims, and we'll see if it if it works out, or if they can if they end up using him, more or less, would be the way to, you know, the way to look at it. I don't think it's going to be, you know, too big of an issue. I haven't heard of anybody testing positive. So, you know, I just believe they were in close contact with a trainer that tested positive. So, Sims spent last year with the Washington Redskins. He appeared in 12 games. Had 27 receptions for 265 yards, so 9.8 catch. He did grab one touchdown. You know, he's a possession guy, very, very similar, oddly enough, to Cole Beasley. So maybe that's why he was brought in. And, you know, you have to wonder if that's the, you know, the connection there. They're going to cover up with, you know, with a very similar player and, you know, see if that works out. And it's still bothering me that I can't remember the name of the other wide receiver that went down with Cole Beasley. So, and I did see that the Bills also picked up Rico Gafford. So, oh, Gabriel Davis, that was it. I should have known that. He's a former Chicago Bear. How did I not know that? Yeah, just one of those things. So, we will see. They also had to deal with Isaiah McKenzie's out with a shoulder injury, and Marquez Stevenson has a foot injury. So they're going to put those, they're going to lose those four guys and bring in Gafford and Sims to kind of fill the void for right now. I don't know if Gafford and Sims will stick around once everybody gets healthy, but you know, as of now, they're on the Bills roster, and we'll see where they go from there. So just just one of those things you have to deal with in our COVID-related world, and that's possibly what the Bills are doing there. So, you know, we shall see. And then I saw that it looked like the Seahawks were going to bring back tight end Luke Wilson, who was cut by, I want to say, I believe the Lions. He signed with the Seahawks yesterday, and then it was the Giants that released him, it looks like. But he decided after looking at the Seahawks playbook that he was just going to retire. So yeah, that was you know, his decision, and he had a relatively long NFL career. You know, he spent some time with the Seahawks. I know he bounced around to the Lions. So, that kind of worked out. And then I did see Kyle Rudolph's actually been activated off the physically unable to perform list and is in training with the Giants now. So, that's a big plus for them. He was their big free agent acquisition signing. So, we'll see how that works out and how much playing time he gets this weekend. So, and obviously he'll play alongside Evan Engram, not like he's going to unseat Engram as the starter or anything. So that worked out. It was real. The Luke Wilson thing was really odd because the Seahawks actually announced they released him after signing him. But Wilson had posted that he was retiring. So it was just kind of a strange situation. And then in unrelated Chicago Bears news, I saw that the Cleveland Browns have released Cody Parkey, the kicker. If you're a Bears fan, obviously you remember Parkey from the infamous how many times can I hit the goalpost field goal that basically ended up costing the Bears a playoff game. So... he's back out there, and kickers bounce around and move around quite a bit, so it won't actually be any type of surprise if he ends up in someone else's camp down the road here if there's an injury or a kicker gets off to a bad start somewhere. That's just how these things go. These guys stick around for quite a while. It's just the nature of the the kicker, I guess. You know, you can't find anybody else, so you just bring back guys that you know, you're familiar with. So yeah, and you know, we are getting to the point. It's actually next week is the deadline for teams to be down to their 53-man rosters. So it'll be really interesting to see if there's any big names cut or traded. I know a couple of the names that have been popping up more on the trade list is Jalen Smith, the Cowboys linebacker, and then Zach Ertz of the Philadelphia Eagles. There's also been some talk that Tampa Bay may try to move O.J. Howard, another tight end there. There's some questions about what New England will do with N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver, and Stephon Gilmore, the cornerback. So yeah, we'll kind of, you know, kind of have to wait and see how this plays out, and if we get some bigger names on, you know, who might end up looking for work as, you know, the season's about ready to start, and if there are teams out there willing to grab these guys after they're released. So it will be interesting, but there are quite a few interesting names that could be cut. A couple Lions, Breshad Perryman, the wide receiver, and Jelani Tavari, the linebacker. There's a chance that Seattle may part way with Rashad Penny, the running back. Another running back, Peyton Barber, may be out with the Redskins. Miles Boykin is an interesting name, the Ravens wide receiver. It's possible he may go. There's talk that the Bills will release Vernon Butler, who was actually a Carolina Panther first-round pick. With the drafting of Najee Harris, there's a chance the Steelers may let go of Benny Snell. Another more related news here, the Houston Texans may cut former Bear Anthony Miller, who they actually just traded for in August. There's also a chance that they're going to release defensive end Shaq Lawson. So, you know, there's been talk that the Chargers may cut Trey Pippins, the offensive lineman. So, you know, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, the wide receiver with the Eagles, may be out. There's some rumors that Latavius Murray, the running back, may lose his job with the Saints. You know, he was their main backup last year, but, you know, they brought in Devonta Freeman, and apparently they seem to like Tony Jones, who was on the practice squad last year. So we'll have to see. And then finally, there's some talk that the Cardinals may give up on Andy Isabella. Now, Isabella is a solid return guy. You know, and a lot of times there's a lot of talk that we're going to see all these guys released, and then what happens is a player gets hurt or something else goes on and they end up staying right where they were. But, you know, again, it's just one of these things that you have to look at. I mean, like today, the Green Bay Packers put Devin Funchess on IR. He's got a hamstring injury, and he's on season-long IR. So he's done for the year. You know, it's just, you know, so they don't have to worry about that. It's you know, it's wrapped up. It's all taken care of. He's just done with them. But, you know, I you know, if you're out there and you're doing a fantasy draft, or maybe you've already had a fantasy draft, you know, I'd be interested to know how it went or how you think it went or what your strategy could be. You know, again, it's 646-478-3753, or if you're afraid to give your strategy away, you know, on air, feel free to email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, and we'll go from there. So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, humorously, I have my FanDuel lineups all set and ready to go, and I generally do two lineups, and one is fine. It's all set and taken care of. And wouldn't you know, I'm waiting for the damn Los Angeles Angels to release their lineup. You know, they have a 6:05 game, so I figured the lineup would be out already. But, of course, it's not out, and I'm just kind of hanging around waiting to see when their lineup shakes out. to see if I've got to make any changes because I'm waiting to see if Jared Walsh and Phil Gosselin are in their lineup. So that's my exciting thing for baseball as we're moving along. But I'm sure now that Dan's here, he has baseball news to talk about, right?
Oh, yeah, tons of it.
Okay, good.
Yeah. The Cubs won today. About all I saw.
Was it five to two?
Yeah, everyone was hitting home runs, so your guy Patrick Wisdom should be a Rookie of the Year candidate, right?
Oh, if you listen to the broadcast, he is. So, you know, and I mean, I fully expect him to finish in the top 10 of the voting. I just don't expect him to win it. So, you know, and of course, being that it's Wednesday, we did have a couple early games. The Cardinals beat the Tigers in extra innings 3-2. That game went 10. And you mentioned the Cubs beat the Colorado Rockies. That was a 7-inning game because they're playing a doubleheader. They won that game 5-2. And we actually still have one game going on. The Royals and the Astros are tied at 5-5 in the 10th inning. Looks like it's the bottom of the 10th, so the Astros have a chance to win it. But the Royals were up big there. I think it was 5-1 at one point. So the Astros have actually bounced back and obviously gotten themselves back in that game.
Oh, good for them.
So, you know, and I did see your guy, Alex Bregman, return to their lineup today. I don't know what he did. I want to double check and make sure he was actually in the starting lineup. But did you end up with him? Was he hanging around? He's actually 2-for-5 today with an RBI, so he came off hitting.
No, unfortunately, I didn't end up with him. And to be honest, Big Jack, it's to the end of the season where I don't want to even say that I'm ready to throw in the towel, but the way the last 3 weeks have gone, I don't want to throw in the towel. I don't know. No matter what I do, I can't win. So, you knocked me out of the playoffs, which hopefully I can get back in by next week in the auction league, I believe it is. And in the snake league, you know, I went from being up in like third, fourth, down to fifth, and now I'm down to seventh. So I got to keep it together there. You know, one of the things brought up, you know, this one Facebook page, group, whatever, posted a picture, or no, not a picture. It was a video of Javi Baez complete, and I don't know if you've seen this one. I have to find it again. Just whiffing big time. I mean, he is probably 3 minutes ahead of the pitch. Maybe, you know, that's exaggerating, but I mean, he's already done swinging before the ball even gets close to the plate. And, you know, I don't know what it is. Once he left Chicago and then that injury, he just hasn't been performing. So that's been one of my issues, and which was one of the reasons I was hoping to trade him away before, when I tried going for that Kyle Hendricks deal. I was hoping to trade him away, and I thought it would have been good, but, you know, as soon as I put that trade together, he went day to day and the numbers just weren't there. And then of course, within, you know, the 2 days after I put the trade in, Yahoo dropped his ranking like 30 points. So you know, it wasn't a good sign. So, I mean, you know, I just have those kind of issues. Same thing on my other shortstop on the other side, Tim Anderson hasn't been fully what he's been. So it's been a little rough. So I think, for some of these guys, you know, just I don't know what's going on. Well, I know it's Tim Anderson's fault, is right? It's all Tony La Russa's fault, right, Big Jack?
Well, he's been dinged up. He's dealing with a leg issue or something.
Well, no, I just mean in general.
What they didn't tell you is Javi Baez actually walked in that at bat.
Oh, really?
So he looked horrible. I mean, he looked completely ridiculous in the at-bat. I mean, there's no doubt about that whatsoever. But, yeah, as it played out, he ended up walking.
Well, good for him.
So, yeah, you know, and I get it, you know, you know, he's a former Cub, so you're going to rip on everything he does, no matter what it was. And, you know, he did look really bad swinging at that changeup well before it ever got to the plate. You know, but, I mean, he's not the only guy that would have done that. So.
No, and I don't know. For me, I'm just noticing, I feel like, not so much since the trade, but somewhere, you know, we talked about the not being able to watch video anymore has definitely affected his hitting. And so it's just somewhere along the line, once he hit New York, just seems to me like his numbers are dropping. It could be just me, but.
Yeah, you know, because, like, I went back and forth a little bit with Schomburg Stu today, and he was more or less taking shots at Kyle Schwarber because he hasn't homered with the Red Sox yet. But the interesting thing is he's hitting .348. And, you know, they gave up on the idea of him playing first base before he ever played first base. So, you know, it's, you know, and again, I get it. It comes from the fact that they're former Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to take shots at them. But, yeah, you've got to, if you're going to do that, you know, if you're a fan and you're going to do that, you got to kind of pay attention to what's actually going on.
Yeah, well, and I mean, let's be honest, Big Jack, I don't know how you feel about it, but would you rather sacrifice the home run ball to have a .348 batting average? And when you say that, is that only with the Red Sox for right now? Or
that's just what he's hitting with the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
I would take it. And I didn't realize they were going to put him at first. I mean, depending on where they are, do you really want him to learn a position, a new position? While he may not be the greatest in the outfield, or you might not have the room for him in the outfield, do you really want to put a guy like that on the stretch into a new position that he isn't really familiar with?
Well, you know, oddly, if they're not going to use him at first base, the trade doesn't make a lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
Because they have a relatively overcrowded outfield, plus they have J.D. Martinez as their designated hitter.
Yeah.
So it's quite the odd situation there. You know, I mean, obviously it doesn't hurt to have the extra bat. I mean, that's just fine. But, yeah, I mean, you know, if you're, you know, and part of the reason they brought him in was because Bobby Dalbec was struggling so much at first base. Now, humorously, Nelson Cruz just made his debut at first base for the first time in his career last night for Tampa Bay at 41. So you got to figure out if Nelson Cruz can do it, Kyle Schwarber should be able to do it.
Yeah. I mean, that is true, but I don't know. They haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to the Red Sox this season. So I didn't really know what was going on with their outfield.
Yeah, well, you know, like here they do have Schwarber listed as the starting left fielder, but that's, you know, where they – and, you know, this may be their outfield now because they just did send Jared Duran down, so it may be Schwarber in left, Verdugo in center, and Hunter Renfro in right. So that, you know, that may be how they're going to do it now, you know, and then J.D. Martinez will DH, but – you know, we'll see. I mean, things kind of change from game to game with teams, and you never know. But, you know, unfortunately for the Red Sox, whatever happens, it looks like it's going to be too little too late because, you know, the Rays obviously went past them in the standings earlier, and then the Yankees got super hot. I mean, they've won 11 in a row, and, you know, have grabbed onto that wild card spot, and, you know, they're 2.5 games ahead of the Red Sox. So they, you know, you want that wild card spot, they got to get going. But yeah, I don't know if I don't know if I see them being able to get back to that. I'm not quite sure they can. I didn't know this. Apparently, I forgot, Dan, that Oakland has been struggling too bad that the Red Sox have actually taken the second wild card spot from the A's, who are two games behind them, and the Mariners, the streaking Mariners, Dan, on a three-game winning streak, only three games out of that final wild card spot. So look out for Seattle. So, yeah, you know, maybe we will get three AL East teams in the playoffs. But, yeah, the A's picked a bad time to hit a rough patch. And, you know, we'll have to see if they can get it straightened out. I know they are off today, and I'm not sure how good this is, but they get what do they get here? What's the date today? The 25th. Yeah, they're off today. Then they get the Yankees coming to town for a four-game series.
Too good for
them.
So
we'll see how that one works out for them. But you know, you figure the Yankees got to lose sooner or later, right? I mean, they've won 11 in a row, and eventually all good things come to an end. And I believe they are off today also because they're going out west. So you figure, you know, it's their day off as well. But not the best for the A's right now.
No. Well, the 11-game win streak is better than 11-game losing streak, right?
Well, you could be the Orioles and be on a 19-game losing streak. 19?
I mean, don't they
just
own the record every season?
It seems like it. Yeah, you know, and the Marlins are a little ways behind them. They've lost 8 in a row. So, you know, I guess all those people who were trumpeting the Marlins as a playoff team last year and all excited about this year, it just didn't work out, huh?
Yeah.
So yeah, and the odd part with the Orioles is I'm not even really sure where they are in their rebuild. You know, I mean, because you look at their everyday lineup, and you know, like their outfield looks pretty solid with Anthony Santander, Cedric Mullins, and Austin Hayes. And then obviously Trey Mancini can hit. You know, Ryan Mountcastle has been up and down with the injuries, but that still leaves catcher. And I know they have the young kid who's a top prospect. You know, you've got catcher, second, short, and third. Those are some pretty key positions to try to fill out, not to mention pitching, where, you know, in reality, your best starting pitcher this year has been Matt Harvey. So, I mean, you know, and with the division they're in, how far away are they from competing? I mean, they're years away, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know, you know, what to even say with this team.
No, and, you know, if you remember, 10 years ago, roughly, somewhere in the last 10 years when the talking heads were all about the Orioles tearing it down and doing a rebuild, even though, I mean, they had like a 1-6 starting lineup where your pitcher should be shaking in his boots when he comes to the plate. And they had a pretty solid 1-4. And we were waiting on Dylan Bundy to become number 5 in that rotation. And, you know, this team was looking like the team of the East to beat. And they wanted them to tear it down. And you kind of look back in retrospect and you wonder, would that have been the best decision back then? Because, I mean, if you think about it, they've been kind of retooling and now rebuilding since that time period because they never made it anywhere.
Well, you know, they won the wild card in 2016. You know, 2017 they were 12 games under 500, and then ever since then, you know, they've lost 100 games. Obviously, not counting last year where they were just 10 games under 500. But we don't know how that was going to go in a 162 game season. You know, obviously they're on their way to another 100 loss season. So you're basically, this is your fourth year of the rebuild. Generally, by year five, you're turning around. I don't see this team turning around next year, do you?
No. Not one bit.
So, yeah, I mean, what's so weird is it does look like they'll hit. You know, it doesn't appear as they have bad hitting, but, you know, I mean, besides John Means, who apparently they almost traded, so you got to wonder if that happens this offseason, who are they building the rotation around? I mean, let me look here. They don't have their highest-rated prospect in AAA. They have their 10th prospect and their 11th prospect in AAA. So, you know, obviously they could be in the majors next year, but, you know, how many rookies really, you know, win 15 games at this point?
Shohei Ohtani?
Yeah, no, he didn't either. Remember, he got hurt. So, you know, their bigger pitching prospects are in double A, and they're almost 23 and almost 22, so they're a couple of years away yet. So, we're still at least 2 years out from this team even starting to turn around, because you know they're not going to spend money in free agency. So yeah, I mean, if you're an Oriole fan, it's bleak, I guess you would describe it as.
Well, you know, and I was gonna make the joke, Big Jack, is there Oriole fans anymore? And
I think there still are.
Well, and not to knock it, but you know, when you see the crowd, and granted, when they're losing, it's not that great, but the area they're in. And the whole structure around the Baltimore area almost reminds me of what's going on in Oakland. And do you think they'll still be in Baltimore?
Oh, see, I thought they had a better area.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought they were in a better area because, you know, they do have the cool park. You know, with the warehouses and all that stuff. And it was, you know, when it was designed, it was, you know, the hot, trendy park.
Yeah, because it replicated Wrigley.
So, yeah, but, yeah, you know, and I mean, obviously, when you're on your fifth year of being beaten as badly as they are, can you blame the fans for not going? You know, remember, you know, the Astros went through that. Remember, you could get Astro tickets for literally a dime on the secondhand market before they turned it around and started winning again.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm off. I mean, you know, you can't even look at this year's numbers. Their attendance is only at like roughly over a 500,000 for the season, averaging 10,000, but, you know, restrictions and all that. But, you know, honestly, when I look at it, you know, they've fared pretty well. They've averaged over 20,000 since, you know, the 80s, and the lowest seasons they had have been 2018 and 19. So, you know, maybe I was completely off on that. And maybe that's what I'm judging off of the last couple of seasons where, you know, they're not really putting it out there.
You know, I mean, like you said, you know, I mean, are there Oriole fans? I mean, it's a difficult team to root for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I'm sure they have longtime fans, but yeah, you just, you know, you got to wonder if we're ever going to get a turnaround. You know, that's the question. So,
it's all Manny's fault.
Yeah. You know, because obviously, well, you know, their owner isn't going to sign up in anyways, but, you know, no free agent is going to want to go there. The last option. So. So, you know, it's kind of like, what do you do?
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's not a whole lot of other options. It's kind of like, okay, here's the team. This is what we're going to do, and let's hope it's better this year. So. So, yeah, you know, we'll kind of have to hang out, wait and see how it goes. But, you know, then you gotta wonder, you know, Brandon Hyde finally gets to manage. I mean, how long do they keep him around?
Well, if they follow the Theo rule or the Chicago rule, you keep him around until you think you're going to go somewhere, and then you fire him, and then you get, you know, La Russa or Madden. Well, I guess if Ricky Renteria gets a job there, we know exactly what's happening.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye out for that, you know, to see if they think they're ready to win and they bring Ricky Renteria in. And, you know, then we'll know what's going to go on. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with that being said, though, Big Jack, any owner, president, GM that comes out and says they hire anybody, especially, you know, someone like Ricky Renteria, oh, you know, he's great with the players, you know, he's fluent in Spanish, so he's going to help out with the Spanish-speaking players, it's a great fit. You know, if they go into that whole BS line, I'm just going to cry for that guy because his job won't last.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, that was the whole plot line behind his hiring for both the Cubs and the Sox by both Rick Hahn and Theo. Those were almost, Theo might have just handed over his speech that he prepared and just emailed it over to Rick Hahn, like, here's what I had when I hired him.
Yeah. You know, that's just kind of the way you do it, right? Here's what we said, and here you go.
Yeah, well, and it seems to be the same thing, like, if you think about it, and I think the whole identifying with the players line is a complete load of crap. Because every team that, from, you know, an outsider's perspective, needs that in their clubhouse, who does the team go with? I mean, why the hell did the Astros hire Dusty Baker? Then they, you know, he didn't identify or suit well with Bryce Harper and company, so the Washington got rid of him to, you know, for Davey. And then everyone's like, oh, the Astros need a guy who can identify and blah, 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 younger generation analytics. And then they go and hire Dusty Baker. So it's just, I don't know, I think I'm just getting old and I just don't believe anything anymore. Is that what it is, Big Jack?
Well, you know, there's always those goofy, you know, catchphrases that you hear every time a guy is hired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter what, no matter who it is, no matter which manager it is, whether it's his first job or his third job or, you know, whatever works out, you know, they oh, yeah, well, you know, he's great with the young players, and he's analytically friendly. So,
you know, and I guess, you know, we've obviously got the old guys that are still around, and, you know, I can't name them off the top of my head anymore, but, you know, guys that cover the sports. But do you think that's why so many of the younger, quote-unquote, sports guys end up transitioning and getting out of sports completely? And I don't mean just guys, women also, because it gets redundant. You know, how many times can you show up to go with Wrigley Field and ask the same dumbass question?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's like being a political reporter. I mean, it's basically the same job.
Yeah.
All you get are the same answers over and over, and it's rare that you get an honest answer out of a manager when you're asking the questions. And I know a lot of times, and you and I have even harped on reporters for doing this, guys asking the same question over and over, just wording it differently. But you've got to wonder what options you have, don't you?
Yeah, and, you know, this, for lack of a better word, the shitty part about their job, and I think is hugely crap, is, I mean, let's be honest, you cannot challenge. You cannot,
no.
You know, let's just take Bruce Levine, for instance. He's, you know, covers both the Cubs and the Sox for the score. And I'll be honest, Big Jack, his voice does definitely not match his face. I did not picture that guy. I pictured someone totally different. But, you know, you take him, for instance, and he's been in Chicago so long that he knows. He knows what he can ask and what he can't ask. And he knows that if he asks anything to Jake Arrieta, he's going to get a pissy answer. You know, you think a guy who does all that yoga would be a little bit happier of a guy. But, you know, Bruce Levine flat out knows that if he asks the wrong questions and ruffles the feathers, he's going to get marked. You know, I don't want to say marked, but he could get banned from the clubhouse or asking questions or doing any of that stuff. And that's what I think sucks about their job the most, is you step on the wrong toe because you're actually trying to do your job. And, you know, asking a manager, well, why the hell did you make that dumbass mistake? You know, I mean, go to Tampa. You know, why did you take out your number one pitcher in the postseason and then you lost the game?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, you have to be careful on. I mean, you ask the wrong question, all of a sudden you no longer have credentials.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I just think
but
that's
here,
the crappy part.
I wanted to run this by you because I heard about this yesterday, and I actually didn't realize some of this. So I did a little research. You know, the Los Angeles Dodgers, their payroll right now is $261 million. All right, obviously that's the highest in Major League Baseball. But what I didn't realize, Dan, is that is double the total of 15 other teams. So half of Major League Baseball has a payroll under $130 million. With the CBA coming up, do you think it's possible where we see teams having to have a minimum payroll, like a payroll floor? Like the Pirates' payroll this year is $49.1 million.
Oh, I definitely think so. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that I think some people think is stupid about the NBA. But I don't think so because, you know, let's just take a team like the Cubs. What the hell is their payroll going to be next year? $12 million? I mean, what are they paying Bodia? $1 million a year? You know, I think the only guy, Contreras' arbitration still, isn't he? So, I mean,
yeah.
You know, nobody is getting paid anything next year. So they can kind of continue on this bullshit rebuild for another 5 years, thinking everyone's going to buy, you know, everyone will buy into it. And the Cubs and the Ricketts will just sit back while this stadium sells out for two more seasons. I think they have a good two seasons left as long as COVID crap, you know, kind of curbs itself a little bit. They have two good seasons where they're just going to bank money. I mean, what was that stupid cup snake worth? Like $50,000 that one day? And that was just one day. And that was just one part of the stadium. I mean, alcohol sales. That didn't include all the food and then, you know, the fruity drinks and, you know, all the other stuff that goes along with it. So, I mean, not having that minimum, the Cubs are just going to sit back and collect that money and not use it to sign anybody. You know, it would have made sense if they had a minimum and then Theo paid that $50 million to a guy who was out of baseball less than, you know, before his contract was up with the Cubs, then they would have had justification on why they spent that much.
Yeah, the Cubs payroll this what the Cubs payroll ended up being this year was $150.591 million. You know, and obviously they're paying parts of Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant's salary, along with what they still owe Jake Arrieta, you know, and anybody else that is. But that's going to substantially drop next year. But, yeah, there are, wow, 10 teams with payrolls of less than $100 million. And the only two teams on this list that can compete are Tampa and Oakland. You know, nobody else is anywhere close to being a contender now out of those teams. So,
well, and I mean, the Cubs, and, you know, this goes across the board. Sam Zell, WGN, the Ricketts are notorious for signing names. Just signing names to get asses, you know, an ass every 18 inches. I don't know if that turns into 20 inches.
Well, yeah,
if you pay $1,000. Yeah.
Yeah. Sam Zell came out and admitted that when he was on the team. Or after, I believe it might have been the year he sold the team. But he fully admitted that's the only reason he signed people.
You know, was to get asses in the seats. And, you know, I think that's the downside of having that, the minimum. But at the same time, you know, and I want to use Florida as an example, but let's be honest, it's not an example. I understand why they put professional teams or, you know, major league teams in Florida, but it's the dumbest decision they could have made. Oh, why would, you know, it's great to have a team that's there all season in Tampa. Yeah, except for everyone's a freaking transplant. Not everybody, but there's a lot of transplants. And I've been to Tampa. Everywhere I turned, everywhere we drove, there's a sign. See the Yankees here. See them.
Yeah.
You know, see the Mets. See the Phillies. If you're down there, no offense, but I'd rather be at the beach on a summer day than sitting in a crappy dome.
Right, and what they didn't realize, obviously Major League Baseball is too stupid for this, you've priced anybody who retires to Florida out of the market of being able to afford to get tickets.
Yeah.
You know, unless you were well off when you retired and moved to Florida, you can't afford tickets. You can't afford to go to maybe more than one or two games a year because of the ticket prices.
No, my father-in-law told me that flat out. He goes, you know, before the World Series, they had, I can go to the game with $15 and get a drink and a hot dog with my ticket, you know, and I don't know how much I paid.
We talked about this team yesterday, Dan. Talk about throwing bad money. The Angels' payroll for this year was almost $183.5 million.
And that's not even close.
That makes them seven. It's actually less than the Padres. So, or more than the Padres. So, yeah, talk about throwing money away or wasting your money and not competing. The Angels are fantastic at it. The Phillies are right there, too. They're fourth on this list at $191.148
million. Stupid money.
So, yeah. You know, you kind of look at that. You start asking questions about what the heck is going on. So... yeah, I think, Matt, do you think that'll be one of the points of contention when negotiations come around besides the, that stupid arbitration ruling where they keep the guy down for 2 weeks and then they get the extra year?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think that should be brought up. I don't know if it's going to be agreed upon. I think that's one of the things that needs to be brought up. The arbitration definitely needs to be resolved. And... we need to stop beating around the bush and institute the DH, universal.
Yeah. Don't you?
Yeah, and I mean, there's still so many people that get so upset about it. And I mean, am I the biggest fan of it? No. But when you think about everything that goes into the game today, money, contract length, it's working out good for Shohei, but that Shohei's, we said it before, Shohei's the unicorn. We're not going to see that again. We're not going to see that ever again unless a guy like him comes from another country, the Eastern Hemisphere, not the Western Hemisphere, because let's be honest, that everyone from North America to South America is all taught baseball the American way, so they're never going to cross over. So you're never going to see, a Latin-born player do the same thing either. It's just we're just going to rely on hopefully another Japanese guy or something like that. So he's the unicorn. I just think, when you got a guy like Clayton Kershaw that you want to put out $33 million a season for, you don't want him at the plate. And not only that, he went through a minor league. Yeah, and not only that, he went through a minor league system where he might have touched the bat on batting practice days because – he had nothing else to do that day because it was his off day.
Yeah.
They don't even shag balls anymore after Mariano Rivera's injury.
Yeah.
I don't blame him, whatever. So it's a different game. And I don't think it's all about the analytics when you come to having universal DH. It's about the money. And if I sign a guy for $500 million to pitch for me, I don't want him at the plate. I don't want him getting beamed because he accidentally hit Javi or he accidentally played, hit Wilson Contreras for the 12th time, and I'm a Milwaukee Brewer. Because they keep hitting them. I don't know why.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of these negotiations. I definitely think, but...
You can also find the one on my app for if you'd like to look us up. That would be cool. And if you are able to stop by and listen to us live, well, thank you for doing that. But if you missed out, head on over to teammate.com and you can listen anytime you want.
SourceFMRadio.com.